and welcome to another episode of my podcast, Lest We Forget. My name is Gary, just an enthusiastic reader of military history. I want to share some of the lesser-known stories I've encountered, stories that got me saying to myself, why haven't I heard this before? This week's episode is the story of an RAF fighter pilot, James Eric Storer. One of the youngest pilots in the RAF at the start of the Second World War, this man took part in numerous different theatres of war, and his stories make for incredible reading. Why there hasn't been a book or even a film about this man, I do not know. This is his story. James Eric Storer was born in July 1921 in the Lancashire town of Ormskirk, and was known throughout his life as Jazz, a shortened version of James. His family ran a long-established veterinary practice in Chester, and he expected to follow in the family business, but first wanted to learn to fly, so he joined the RAF on a short service commission in 1938 as a 17-year-old. He'd lied about his age by a year in order to get entry. He began his initial flying course in January 1939 and graduated through training, transferring to a Blenheim squadron in October, by which time Britain had declared war on Germany. He was rated as exceptional during training, but was described as a giant of a man at well over 6 feet and barely able to squeeze into the cockpit of his aircraft. I say man, in October 1939, he had barely turned 18 years old. His squadron was based at Croydon, and he initially flew Bristol Blenheims with a three-man crew in a day and night fighter role. But by March 1940, the squadron converted to Hurricanes, and 2 months later, shortly after Germany had invaded Belgium and France, he was involved in sorties over northern France. British troops were already on the retreat when Jazz claimed his first aerial victory near St. Omer on the 23rd of May. A Messerschmitt 110, which was a heavy fighter, and the following day, he shot down a Dornier 17 medium bomber over Gravelines. 2 days later, he destroyed two ME-110s near Dunkirk. Years later, Jazz recalled,
"I knew it was a catastrophe for the army, and towards the end, when they were using the small boats, the thing that struck me was the pall of smoke from the oil tanks at Dunkirk. We never flew down very low, because it didn't matter who we were, we got shot at. The people on the ground, whenever they saw an airplane, thought it was a Jerry and let fly, understandably, for there were not very many of us. We usually stayed between 8,000 to 10,000 feet to keep out of range of light flak. The average length of a sortie was about an hour and a half to three quarters, which meant you used pretty well all your fuel, even at normal throttle opening."
The RAF flew over 3,500 sorties supporting the retreat to Dunkirk, but the troops on the ground were mostly unaware of their efforts, as most of the dogfights took place inland, and resentment grew against the airmen. To be fair, the Luftwaffe's aircraft vastly outnumbered the British. Their pilots were already experienced in air warfare, and given the limited range of British fighters, it is no surprise that the Germans dominated the skies over Dunkirk. Following the evacuation of troops from the beaches at Dunkirk, Storer's squadron relocated to Tangmere and got involved in early aerial combat of the Battle of Britain. In July, Storer shot down a Heinkel 111 medium bomber just off the Isle of Wight. This was the fifth aircraft he had shot down, and he was officially an ace, and he was still only 18. Within a week, he also claimed a Dornier 17 and shared in the destruction of a Heinkel 111, both off the Sussex coast. 9 days later, Storer shot down a Messerschmitt 109 fighter south of the Isle of Wight, and 2 days after that, he was involved in the shared downing of a Junkers 88 medium bomber. On the 8th of August, again, south of the Isle of Wight, Jazz shot down two Junkers 87s, better known as a Stuka dive bomber, and damaged the third. Years later, he recalled his last encounters on that day.
The squadron split up when we engaged the enemy aircraft, which had just bombed the convoy. I saw a Ju-87 Stuka at sea level, on its own heading back across the channel. I attacked from astern and soon became aware that I had silenced the rear gunner. As I finished my ammunition, with little obvious effect, I suddenly became aware that there was a flame round his right undercarriage leg. I came up alongside. There was no sign of the rear gunner, but the pilot was looking at me, and I was no more than 20 or 30 yards away. I could see his face clearly and could virtually see his hand on the stick. The flame suddenly burst over the top of the wing. We both looked at it for what seemed like seconds when the Stuka's wings suddenly buckled. It turned over into the sea and exploded. I circled the smoke a couple of times and was then joined by another Hurricane from 145 Squadron, who headed back with me towards the English coast. I could see as we pulled back our hoods, he was giving me a thumbs up sign. It was Sub-Lieutenant Smith. I had a sudden feeling to look back over my other shoulder and saw two 109s pulling in behind us. I yelled over the RT and broke hard into a turn towards them. As I got round to engage, I pressed the button and it just hissed, of course, no ammunition. So I kept turning to avoid them and they disappeared. Sub-Lieutenant Smith failed to return.
That day had been particularly difficult for his squadron, with 5 of their 22 pilots killed, and within days they lost 4 Hurricanes in combat. On the 12th of August, Jazz claimed another Messerschmitt 110 as destroyed, but his squadron lost another 3 pilots that day. At the end of August, Pilot Officer Storer was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. The citation read, "This officer took part in the intensive fighting over Dunkirk last May and has since been engaged in numerous successful actions. His squadron was responsible for the destruction of 21 enemy aircraft in one day. He personally destroyed 2 of these. Pilot Officer Storer has displayed an unfailing desire to engage the enemy at all times and has shot down 8 enemy aircraft." In early September 1940, Storer's 145 Squadron were withdrawn to Scotland for a break from the furore of defending the south of England's towns and airfields. However, Jazz was once again involved in combat when he shared in the downing of a Dornier 17 near Montrose. At the end of September, Jazz was posted to 73 Squadron, also equipped with Hurricanes. They were based in Cambridgeshire and operated in a night fighter role. By this time, the Battle of Britain was coming to an end, and Jazz was still only 19. He was promoted to flying officer in the October. The following month, 73 Squadron were posted to North Africa, and they sailed to the west coast on an aircraft carrier. From the west coast, they flew their aircraft on a stepping stone route across to Egypt, where they were temporarily attached to another squadron for training. In January 1941, 73 Squadron became operational from Sidi Hanish Air Base on the northern coast of Egypt. And within a few days, he had shot down an Italian Fiat CR-42 fighter west of Tobruk. At the start of the following month, February, Jazz destroyed an Italian Caproni reconnaissance aircraft on the ground at Apollonia Airfield in what is now Libya, and a few days later again shared in the destruction of aircraft on the ground at Benina. This was all part of the efforts of the British when, over 5 days in the first week of that February, the RAF and the Western Desert Force achieved rapid success in pushing the retreating Italians around the coast of eastern Libya, and ended with the surrender of over 130,000 Italian troops. At this point, Churchill ordered General Wavell, in charge of the Allied forces, to halt his advance across Libya. Such was the British success that it allowed Jazz and his wingman, one day whilst patrolling west of Tobruk, to land in the recently vacated and seemingly deserted coastal resort of Apollonia, just to have a look round. Having landed, the village's inhabitants came out onto the streets and asked for help from the two airmen, as the departed Italian soldiers had left them vulnerable to nightly raids from local bandits. The two pilots agreed to stay and help the villagers, and lined up their Hurricanes on the main street pointing towards the hills, and sat in their cockpits waiting for the bandits to arrive that evening. Upon their arrival, the pilots opened fire at the bandits with the aircraft's cannons, and the problem was solved. Temporarily, at least. The following morning, they returned to their base. However, mid-February saw the arrival in western Libya of Rommel's Africa Corps to support the remaining Italian forces. The tide began to turn, and Jazz and his squadron were now on defensive patrols in the Allied-held eastern part of Libya. On the 19th of February, Jazz damaged a Messerschmitt 110 over Benghazi, ironically the same day that the Luftwaffe scored their first victory in the North African campaign. From March, Jazz's squadron were carrying out defensive patrols of Tobruk. On the 4th of April, Jazz flew over an Allied transport plane, which had made a forced landing in the desert. He landed and discovered it was General Wavell's personal aircraft, which had had engine trouble. Jazz helped the pilot to get the engine going again and watched it take off, but then couldn't start his own plane's engine. He ended up walking 32 miles to reach Allied lines. Jazz was soon up in the air again when, on the 8th of April, he shot down a Junkers 87 Stuka over the desert. However, the month of April also saw a rapid German counterattack, with Allied forces being pushed back to the Egyptian border and the Libyan city of Tobruk surrounded and under siege. In just 3 weeks, the two Hurricane squadrons defending Tobruk lost 27 of their 32 aircraft in defensive duties of Tobruk. Jazz was one of the pilots rested, and by June was back on the West African Gold Coast at Takoradi, engaged in aircraft ferrying duties. On one transport flight to Freetown in Sierra Leone on the 21st of June, Jazz and four other pilots were flying three aircraft when bad weather forced them to land in the jungle in Liberia. Unable to take off again, the five of them set off on foot, and 2 days later they had covered 72 miles, reaching an American rubber plantation. At still only 19, Jazz contracted malaria and was repatriated to the UK the following month. In October 1941, Jazz was promoted to flight lieutenant and was posted as a gunnery instructor to an operational training unit in Scotland, and he remained there throughout 1942. Then, in January 1943, the 21-year-old Jazz was promoted to acting squadron leader and given command of 65 Squadron with Mark V Spitfires, initially training to take off from aircraft carriers but switching to performing bomber escort duties over occupied France. In June, Jazz claimed as destroyed a Fokker Wolf 190 fighter near Le Havre, and in August his squadron started to receive upgraded Mark 9 Spitfires. It was in one of these aircraft that Jazz shot down a Messerschmitt 109 over the Pas de Calais on the 18th of August. He later reported,
"The Hun did not at first realise I was behind him. I opened fire using full throttle and revs. He began to turn and, seeing me, dived down. I followed him down to 5,000 feet. His left aileron came off, and it flicked over the vertical and went straight into the ground near Cassel."
At the end of August, Jazz damaged another Fokker Wolf 190 near Dunkirk, and in September, he achieved his final aerial victory of the war when he downed another 190 north of Rouen. Jazz was awarded a bar to his Distinguished Flying Cross in October 1943, and the following month he returned to a training squadron and became its chief flying instructor. You might think that at this stage he saw out the war without further incident, but his adventures and frontline flying were not over. In April 1944, in preparation for the Operation Overlord, the Normandy beach landings, Jazz was given command of an air dispatch letter service, created with the purpose of delivering secret mail, such as orders and important documents, to the beachhead before communication links could be properly established. Jazz was the first pilot to land his converted Hurricane in France just 4 days after D-Day. By the end of June, his pilots had carried out over 70 sorties. Jazz also flew into Paris, whilst it was still in German occupation, to deliver important messages to the resistance, and on one occasion had to abandon his aircraft as he was too close to a German outpost. He was smuggled out of the city by the resistance. Between October 1944 and early 1945, Jazz held a series of squadron commands, ending up with 234 Squadron, when they were converted to the American P-51 Mustang fighters. Then, in March 1945, Jazz led his squadron as part of Operation Carthage, which was an attack by light bombers targeting a building used as a Gestapo headquarters in occupied Copenhagen. His squadron was used to prevent the Luftwaffe from taking off from a nearby airfield and then provide cover for the bombers' withdrawal. Later that month, Jazz was appointed as acting wing commander at Hunsdon in Hertfordshire, and on the 9th May led his wing as cover for Operation Nest Egg, which was the Allied reoccupation of the Channel Islands. With the war finally over, Jazz continued in the RAF, and in January 1946 was given command of 239 Wing of the Desert Air Force based in Italy. He was still only 24 years old. 239 Wing was equipped with the Mustang fighters, and in keeping with the tradition of senior officers having personal letters applied to their aircraft, Wing Commander Storer had JAS on the side of his Mustang, as indeed he had on his Spitfire in 1943. In fact, he kept this tradition going when in later life his Jaguar motor car also included JAS on its number plate. Storer's time in Italy passed without incident, although he did acquire a Soviet Yak fighter aircraft when a Russian pilot let him fly one, and because Jazz liked it, the pilot gave it to him. Jazz had RAF roundels put on it, and the aircraft was used by his pilots until it eventually broke down. Storer left the RAF in 1947 when he took up studies for veterinary science at Edinburgh, later joining his family's practice in Chester. Jazz was not entirely finished with flying, though. In 1949, he joined the Royal Auxiliary Air Force, and in 1954, took command of 610 County of Chester Auxiliary Squadron, which allowed former regular pilots to continue flying. One of the aircraft Jazz flew during this time was the Gloucester Meteor, the first British jet fighter. Jazz relinquished his commission in 1959 and continued as a vet at his family's practice until his death in 1995, sadly aged just 73. Jazz Storer was one of those colourful characters that lived life to the full, and like many of the RAF's fighter pilots, with a certain amount of flamboyance. Nothing perhaps demonstrates this more than when he flew an aircraft under a bridge in Chester during the war. His brother later said, "He used to frighten Chester to death. He flew under the Grosvenor Bridge in a hurricane and said himself that he had never seen the flagpole of Chester Cathedral so close." James Storer joined the RAF at 17 as a pilot, fought over the skies of northern France during the retreat to Dunkirk, became an ace at 18 during the Battle of Britain, flew in the North African theatre, took command of a squadron at the age of 21, was the first to land an aircraft in France after D-Day, carried out secret flying missions into occupied Paris, a wing commander by the age of 24, and he flew, amongst others, Hurricanes, Spitfires and Mustangs. You almost couldn't make this up. Jazz Storer, we salute you.